weddings, marriage, husband and wife, living in love toward he or she, your closest neighbor. The gospel for today is the wedding at Cana, a city in Galilee. And the first words of the text are, "And on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding." It parallels Genesis. Following the creation of man and woman, their marriage. It is therefore to be expected that St. John in his gospel, who began as Moses began in Genesis, in the beginning God, John, in the beginning was the Word, that Jesus would begin his ministry for us at a wedding, a marriage. The wedding motif itself is a very powerful one in the Old Testament. Israel considered itself the wife of God, and God spoke of himself as being Israel's husband. In Genesis chapter 2, God spoke to our first parents right after they were married, teaching them about marriage, be fruitful and multiply, etc. What it entailed, what a privilege marriage was. And God instructed them, the two shall become one flesh. And then God promised them the best wedding gift of all, the gift of his Son. And that gift was delivered when God was incarnate in the Virgin Mary and was made man. God and man united in one person, one flesh, yours and mine, Jesus, for you. It goes even deeper. For there is the marriage between Christ and the believer, a unity that is there in the one faith. Christ Jesus literally bore us, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. But he is for you. And that is proven to us in his words, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink this cup, this is my blood for you." His body and his blood is in you. Jesus has made you a partaker. You are in unity with his divine and human natures. Talk about the two becoming one, you and God being so united. To be one in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a marriage that will well up for you and for me unto eternal life. It's as God's Spirit taught us through the prophet Hosea. God said, "I will become betrothed to you eternally. I will marry you with righteousness and justice, with grace and mercy." Yes, through faith, I will become engaged to you. Wow. And it was on the third day at Cana. Third day, like the day of Jesus' resurrection. The day upon which the bridegroom claims his bride through faith in Christ Jesus. Because all of Jesus' works, all of Jesus' teaching, all of Jesus' miracles, all of his suffering, all of his death are for his bride, the church. All of it is for the purpose of making you and me his spiritual bride forever and ever. For if Christ is not raised, then our faith is in vain. and we are still in our sins. But we are not in our sins. We are forgiven all of our sins. We are Christ's holy bride. Now, Jesus is always about that business of the Father for us, redeeming the world from their sins. John had said it in chapter 1 of his gospel, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Luke chapter 2, when the boy Jesus is in the temple, he says to his parents, "Did you not know that I must be about the affairs of the Father?" Well, at Cana in Galilee, Jesus is about the affairs of his Father, the Word and the promises of God the Father for you. And that gives us the divine setting at the wedding at Cana in Galilee at what is about to happen, because the affairs of the Father is where all of life is lived, even your life and mine. Our lives are hidden with God in Christ. You who are baptized in his name, you who are members of his kingdom. But what is it that intrudes upon all of the affairs of the Father? What is it that focuses the mind of Jesus' mother on the occasion of the wedding? The wine ran out. With all of the great things that Jesus is doing for us and for our redemption, the wine ran out. And that is the overarching thing? They have no wine? And then Jesus says to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." Did it recall at all those words of 12-year-old Jesus in the temple to his mother? All right. All Mary was asking of Jesus is that he come up with a solution to the problem that the wine ran out, right when the guests in the big wedding celebration were having such a good time. And besides, you know, we all know about how this would be such an embarrassment in that Near Eastern culture to have the wedding couple not have enough wine for all the guests that were there. Of course, Jesus' mother Mary had all of the best intentions, granted. But something that happened with Mary there is something that also happens to you and to me probably on a daily basis with all moderns. Mary, for a moment, took her eyes off of Jesus and the Father's affairs that Jesus is to be about. And she was going to refocus Jesus upon the circumstances at hand. For him to be now seen as the great provider on solutions to the problems and the whims and the desires of people in their everyday lives. I mean, wouldn't people begin to think this after a while? Hey, why couldn't the guy that helped out over here and provided wine for the wedding feast, couldn't he come up with a couple of extra bucks for me and my family too? I always thought Jesus' words in answer to Mary, his mother, were pretty abrupt and fairly harsh. "Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour has not yet come." But Jesus isn't subject to Mary here. Jesus isn't about turning stones into bread or turning water into wine so that life can be eat, drink, and be merry and everything can be just delightful each and every day. Jesus is about the affairs of the Father for you and for me to redeem and save you and me and the world from its sins. Yeah, Jesus had a cup to drink, but it wasn't filled with wine from the wedding at Cana. It was filled with the work of suffering and bleeding and dying to save people from their sins. the right time for Jesus to help. The hour that was to come was the hour when no amount of eat, drink, and be merry and turning water into wine was going to help anybody. His hour was when our help is only in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That would be on the cross, not bailing out weddings. John says in his gospel, this is the beginning of the signs that Jesus worked, the changing of water into wine here. And this was the first time Jesus manifested his glory, says John in his gospel. And then John follows up with those astonishing words, and his disciples believed in him. His manifest headline or soundbite would probably be something like making Jesus the great rescuer of weddings. But the affairs of the Father he was about was to save sinners from their sins, to reconcile them to God, to cover them with the wedding garment of his own righteousness, his own blood, so that believers might stand before God justified in the forgiveness of their sins. John would later in his gospel identify the glory of Christ not with changing water into wine, but with his cross. Christ Jesus is never more king for you and for me than when he is suffering, bleeding, and dying upon that cross for us. But is all of that really evident to the disciples or to you and I when we hear the text of Jesus turning the water into wine? Is it all that evident? Well, John says it was. He says his disciples believed in him. His disciples believed those words and promises of God from Genesis and through Exodus and through the rest of the Old Testament, through the prophet Hosea, all the way down to right here at Cana in Galilee. It was everything they expected and heard from the Old Testament that the Messiah would do. They believed those promises that he came not to be giving people food to drink and wine for their weddings, but to bring them the preciousness of the forgiveness of their sins. Okay then, Pastor, why did Jesus end up turning the water into the wine anyway? Because it is who he is for us. This is also what God had revealed in his Old Testament and in the mouth of Jesus himself about who he is, what the affairs of God the Father has promised for us. He provides all of our needs, all out of divine fatherly goodness and mercy. He provides for all of our needs of body and of soul. Did he not tell us? Did Jesus not say, "Don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, because your heavenly Father knows you need all of these things. We're out of wine for the wedding. Is that all? The Gentiles seek after all of those things, and your heavenly Father knows you need all of them. But, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And at Cana, Jesus did exactly what he said. He added unto them, just like he does for you and for me in our lives each and every day. Don't lose the focus. Remember who Jesus is and what he is about for you. Remember, he told you, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Remember, he said, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." He said, "Whoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And so Jesus well provides us with heavenly divine food and drink that will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life, not just saving a wedding or a wedding reception. He gathers you from all the peoples of the earth so that you might celebrate with him the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. And you will engage that feast today as you kneel right here to receive this bread and this wine, the very body and blood of Christ, to unite you with Christ Jesus, with the triune God, in fact, in a marriage that will last forever and ever. Yeah, Jesus began his ministry at Cana by turning water into wine. Yes, the miracle of Jesus at Cana turned helpless embarrassment and shame into joy and gladness. Well, when Jesus acts, hearts are made joyful, truly joyful, and not just with stuff, or not just with a glass of wine, but in that Jesus acted for you to fulfill the law's demands for you in your place. For you to go to the cross and bleed and die to wash away your sins. Thanks be to God through his cross and resurrection that Jesus has given to you the wedding of weddings, and a wedding feast to follow in his kingdom where the wine of his blessings will never run out. He indeed has the best wine for last. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.